Hello, and welcome to Grad Next Audio, brought to you by Study Trust, Van Schaick Publishers, Capitec, and me, Ruda Landman. These podcasts go with a booklet called Grad Next, which is available to download for free on the same platform where you found this podcast. Grad Next was created to help you cross the gap between being a student and being a working adult. It consists of four sections: knowing yourself, finding the opportunities, the practicalities of getting a job, and finally, being a working adult. This is another episode of Section 2, Finding the Opportunities. Let's talk about the major question: where and how to start looking for your first job. I'm recording this in the midst of the COVID-19 crisis. It is a very difficult time to start your career. Jobs are thin on the ground. Even so, remember that every working person out there has had to go through this process. It can be done. You can take heart from the fact that your degree gives you a much better chance still. In 2018, when more than 30% of South Africans without matric were unemployed, only 7% of graduates could not find a job. Even then, the figure for younger people was higher. I'm not saying it is easy. Worldwide, the economy is under pressure, and that was even before COVID-19. And young people everywhere are finding it hard to land a job. You are not alone. Recent graduates tell us that if you send off less than 10 applications, you haven't even started. In many cases, it takes 20 applications and months of concentrated effort to find that first job. Do not give up. Even when you get no response to applications, don't take it personally. It is not about you. The lives of those HR personnel are full and complicated. Keep going. Finding a job is a job in itself. Set aside at least 3 or 4 hours a week to work on it, starting now. Do not wait until December and think you will have an income in January. But still, don't panic. There are jobs out there. At some point, you will align with one of them. But where should you start? For most people, their first job is simply an entry point into the world of work. At some point in the future, when you're looking for your next job, hopefully you will be employed with a secure base from which to work. You will have started building experience and networks. Then you can afford to be more selective, more picky. At this point, the practicalities like salary and benefits, distance from where you live, available transport, will most probably override everything else. This section, therefore, is not only for now, it's also for next time. The reality of our working life is often expressed graphically in 3 overlapping circles, one at the top and 2 at the bottom. The top one says, what you love. The one to the left says, what you're good at. And the one to the right, what pays well. If you can find a job where all 3 of those overlap, you have an absolute win. If you're in the overlap between what you love and what you're good at, you might be happy, but you might also be poor. If you're in the overlap between what you love and what pays well, sorry, that's just a dream. And in the overlap between what you're good at and what pays well, but it's not what you love, you might get rich, but you will be very bored. So for the moment, for your first job, you will probably place more emphasis on the bottom 2 circles, what you're good at and what pays well, or even just what you're good at. You may start out working for free or for very little money. You need to get into the market and start building experience. Here are some pointers to get you going. First of all, what kind of job will you consider? Your first job will most probably not be your dream job. Every industry is like a big anthill. It looks impenetrable from the outside, but once you find a way in, you can see pathways and connections you could not even imagine. Take one example. You may dream of being a newsreader on TV. The chances of getting that job when you start out are close to zero, but that does not mean it is impossible. Get into the industry in whatever way you can. Be a researcher at a regional radio station or a reporter at a local newspaper, a personal assistant at a production company. You need to get to know the industry and how it works. Build up your CV, gain experience, and build a network. Then you will see the next opportunity when it arrives and be ready to take it. Here's a comment from a recent graduate to illustrate this. I've always had this fantasy of working in one of the big media companies where it will be a fun and exciting environment. Turns out my first job had to be in a cloud service company, so definitely not what I've always dreamt. It's a totally different environment, one I had no knowledge about. But that's what makes it exciting, the learning part. Develop a scorecard of factors that will influence your choice of employer. What are deal breakers? Too far from home? Not your field at all? What is important, but not quite a deal breaker? It's a startup, not secure. You may not like the culture. What are the nice-to-haves that you would like, but you can live without? Rank them from top to bottom, drop the ones that really don't matter, and add anything else that matters to you. Think of some of the following: remuneration, the salary and benefits, opportunities for growth, opportunities in a specialist field or management, security, permanent versus temporary appointments, the size of the company. A big company like a major bank may be more secure, but a smaller one may offer more development opportunities. Think about the company culture: suit and tie or t-shirt and jeans, open plan or separate offices. Where is it situated? Corporate social investment profile: does the company reach out to less fortunate communities, or are they only focused on profit? Availability of bursaries or support for study. And maybe opportunities to work overseas. Make a list of companies where you would like to work. Also consider adjacent industries. If you want to work for ENCA or the SABC, also think of MTN, Vodacom, and maybe the advertising industry. Do research on the industry and find smaller companies that may not be as well known. If you're in IT or digital media, check out your favorite apps, your websites, your social media campaigns that you like the most, and try to find out who designed and built these. There are dozens of small startups that may have room for an intern, or where you may find contract work, which can lead to a full-time job or even your own portfolio of clients. Go to all these companies' websites, click on Careers or a similar tab, and load your CV wherever you can. Also look for Leaply, leap.ly. Create a profile there. You will see what I mean when you get to the website. Look for the name and address of someone in HR or a head of department at a company you are interested in. Send a personalized introductory letter and a CV, we'll talk about that in another episode, and ask if he or she can spare a few minutes for an information interview. You can even try the CEO, one never knows. Of course, this will not bear fruit every time, not nearly. But if you don't try, nothing will ever happen. If someone does come back to you, prepare well and go in with a list of carefully structured questions about the company, its products, its culture, possibilities for full-time or contract work, etc. You will do well because there's no pressure, no job is on the table. And you will be remembered as someone with initiative and guts. CEOs and higher-ups are mostly very approachable individuals who themselves have fought long and hard to get where they are. So they are often quite willing to give career advice to someone just getting started. They know what it's like to be in your shoes. Use that. However, stay respectful of their time and keep your expectations to a minimum. Do not assume that they have the time or the patience to read through your entire thesis. But asking for advice on how they got to where they are is mostly welcome. The worst that can happen is that they don't get back to you. Company representatives love praise and flattery about what they do or how they have influenced people's lives with their product. Have you always loved All Gold's tomato sauce and now you want to work at the company? Tell them that. Tell them why you love their product. Describe what it meant to you in your life, as a child at birthday parties and as an adult at boerewors stands, for example. If you contact a company and they're not hiring, offer to work as an unpaid intern for a few months. Anything to get started. Nowadays, you need experience to get experience. It might feel undignified not to get paid, but this is all about getting that proverbial foot in the door and getting that precious experience banked. Remember, you have a lifetime of salaries ahead. Forgoing it for a few months at the beginning and settling once again for the umpteenth two-minute noodles dinner will be a worthwhile sacrifice in the long run. The essential experience you gain at a company you admire will pay off in other ways, leading to other jobs, or if you impress your bosses enough, maybe even a permanent position following your internship. However, be very cautious. Many companies will abuse the internship label to extract free labor from enthusiastic graduates desperate to break into a field. Any unpaid internship that goes beyond 6 months to a year should set off alarm bells. Go on to LinkedIn. Link with people who work at these companies. For people in the field of data, technology, and quantitative analytics, the South African Graduate Employers Association has a brilliant new tool specifically developed to help you on your way. It's called Quantify Your Future. You can find it at www.quantifyyourfuture.co.za. Consider doing volunteer work or job shadowing at companies or organizations in the field you want to work in. This will enhance your CV, build your network, and may lead to opportunities. Join professional organizations in your field. Use career websites like Leaply, indeed.co.za, or bizcommunity.com for media jobs to find opportunities and post your CV and other documents as prescribed. Then go further than that. Work as hard as you can to trace a live person with a connection to that position to whom you can send a personalized letter and CV. If you Google tips for job searching, you will find many websites with more information and advice. Most important of all, persevere. Nothing worth having comes easy. Even if you have dozens of rejection letters in your inbox, even if you've been searching for 6 months, even if all your friends have already found work, do not give up. Keep sending those applications. Eventually, the right job will come along with your name on it. That was episode 6 of Grad Next Audio, the second one in our section on finding the opportunities. Next time, we take this further when we'll talk about networking and building something called social capital. Please join us again. You can also download the text for free on the same platform where you found this podcast. Goodbye. Until next time.